Praise the Lord. God is doing amazing things at the Hope Homes. And, you know, I want to thank Pastor Jim and Sister Sandy for inviting me to speak this morning. And Pastor Jim's also on the VP of the Hope Homes board. And it's a great honor to be speaking here this morning. Also, my wife is on the front row there. Hannah, you want to give a wave, Hannah? And so we're just grateful to be here with you guys this morning. And we're also grateful for Pastor Carter, who also serves on the Freedom City Church Board now as well. He said this morning, he goes, do you still love me after that last board meeting? And I said, of course I do. I like having sharp people around me that are smarter than me and lots of things to tell me what I need to hear. Amen. If we surround ourselves by people that only tell us what we want to hear, how many know that eventually you'll be surrounded by people that have nothing to say? And so that's why I have a board to speak in to what we're doing. And so we're grateful for this partnership with Central Assembly of God and Freedom City Church. And it's just amazing that we launched Freedom City Church 5 years ago this March. We started the Sunday services at the Assemblies of God Theological Seminary, actually started in the William Seymour Chapel. And I have a few guys from the Hope Homes with us. If you guys could just raise your hand and wave at people, they're right here in the middle. So at our Hope Homes, a majority have come right out of prison to the Hope Homes, just like Zach Rogers came to the Hope Homes out of prison, out of our prison campus some years ago. Many of them have read my book, My Prison Became a Palace in Prison. So how many Hope Homes guys here have read the book, My Prison Became a Palace? So quite a few. Okay, there's hands going up all over. So we and Pastor Jim, and so so a lot of people read the book and then they're like, hey, I want to be a part of that. So it's very evangelistic. We've donated thousands of books to prisons across the country and in Missouri, and even Spanish copies to prisoners in El Salvador through missionary Don Triplett. And he's asking for 2,000 more, but so it's good. And you can get the free copy at johnallred.com. Just go to johnallred.com and download a free copy. Also, I believe we have 10 books. Is that right, Michael? 10. We have 10 My Prisons and 10 Pharmakeia that we want to give away. So the book Pharmakeia is just about the connection between addiction and the demonic realm. So I got to have my water here. We're just finishing up a 21-day fast, and so I was able to stick with it. 21 days of liquid fasting, liquid vegan intermittent fasting. So that's it's been good. And so you know what we see is the national recidivism rate for people getting out of prison is 80%. So 8 out of 10 people released from prison will be back in prison on new charges within 3 to 5 years. What we see at Hope Homes is that not one person that graduates the program has been back to prison. Not one in 5 years. Is that amazing? To people that understand the stats, that's a miracle. You know, and so I'm just waiting for that one guy that ends up going back and messes up the stats. And next year I have to come and say, all but one. Leroy, don't let that be you, Leroy. All right, Leroy's going to stick with it. And but since our launch, we've had over 1,000 people saved every year at Freedom City Church or at our Branson campus or at our prison campus. And so it's amazing to see what God is doing. We also just opened the Hope Homes thrift store, and so you can donate items you know, or even an old car, you can donate to the Hope Homes, and we'll come pick it up and give you a tax write-off for it. But the Hope Homes thrift shop, I believe that's going to blow up. And actually, it was Debbie Canada helped get that going. Debbie and Ron Canada, we're grateful for all their members of this congregation. And are they here this morning? I see someone waving. Oh, there they are, up there in the balcony. There they are, around Debbie Canada. Thank you. So pre-COVID, we were hitting about 600 people at weekend services. We were really bursting at the seams. COVID put a little bit of a damper on that. But as we've got going again, we're seeing that people are just hungry for community. They're hungry to be in church. And so we're seeing our sanctuary is at capacity. It has been for a month or two now. And so we're opening up overflow rooms, took half the chairs out of the sanctuary, moved them to the youth room. And we want to be sensitive to social distancing. And we want everybody to remain healthy, but we want to get as many people possible into church. Also, we need mentors. So if you want to partner with us, you can reach out to Pastor Anthony. You can also click something on the Central Hub, and Pastor Jim will explain that later. But listen, this is a real cross-cultural ministry just two blocks away from Central Assembly of God here. And it's a real mission field in that the people that we're reaching cannot sustain the work that's going on yet. I believe they will. Give us another 5 years, and we're going to raise people up to be givers, business owners, and to sustain the work. And we're a U.S. missions church, and also the Teen Challenge, Hope Homes Springfield Teen Challenge, is also has a U.S. missions account. And let me show a picture of my wife and kids, and I better not get off on tangents. Pastor Jim's going to flash me the five-minute sign here in a second, but that's my wife and Hannah and our baby Brooklyn and Phoenix, and the next one is Brooklyn. Is she adorable or what? Come on, she takes after her mama. And then Phoenix, my little world changer, 15 months now. You guys might remember he was in and out of ICU when it was a hard birth, and it was touch and go. We didn't know if he was going to make it. First 6 months, we didn't sleep a bit, and now look at him. He's eating. He can eat. He eats like a little pig, and he's getting huge. And so today, you know, I want to talk about the topic of revival and a message called Ascend Revival. And I was asking Pastor Jim last week, I said, does this bear witness? You know, you mind if I talk about revival? And he said, please do. And then I listened to his message from last week, and actually one of his points at the end was be desperate for revival. And that's actually one of my points at the end this week, that we would be desperate for revival. Let's read Isaiah 64, 1 through 4. And if you guys could stand with me, if you don't mind doing that, and we'll read this passage of Scripture. And let's let this be our prayer this morning. Isaiah 64, 1 through 4. O Lord, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains would tremble before you when fire sets twigs ablaze and causes waters to boil. Come down to make your name known to your enemies. Cause the nations to quake before you. For when you did awesome things that we did not expect, you came down and the mountains trembled before you. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. Lord, we're asking God that you would send revival. God, Lord, that you would rend the heavens and come down. God, Lord, that you would cause us to be hungry for more of you, for more of your presence. God, Lord, in our lives and in our churches. And God, Lord, we're asking, send revival, God, Lord, afresh to this generation. In Jesus' mighty name, you may be seated. You know, I believe that our greatest need in this hour is a God-sent revival to the United States of America. We have a global pandemic. We have riots in the streets. We have our cities on fire. Rioters storming the Capitol. Division in our nation. Division in the church. We need God to come down. I believe that even though great darkness covers the earth, in this hour in great darkness, the people, I believe that God is going to arise upon His church in this hour. Last October, God released me to begin to talk about revival at Freedom City Church. Like a good seminarian, I have stuck to expository preaching, going through the Word of God and allowing it to speak for itself. Started with Acts and got to Luke 19 last October, and God really released me, I felt, to begin to speak a series on revival. You know, historically, great movements go from a man or a woman that God raises up to a movement, right? And then it can become a machine, right? And then it can become a monument and eventually a mausoleum, right? So that's the way movements go historically. But I believe that the Central Assembly and Freedom City Church and the Assemblies of God, that we need a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit in this movement, that we would continue to go on in power until Jesus returns. So what revival is not? Revival is not putting a sign up outside of your church that says October 12th to October 16th, revival with evangelist so-and-so, and there will also be a chili cook-off. Come on, somebody. And so nothing wrong with that, but the definition of the word as I'm talking about it in the next few minutes, that is not what I'm talking about. Although I love chili, and it's been 21 days of fasting and prayer, and I could eat me some chili. But that is not what revival is. It's not like, oh, brother, we had revival last night. Well, maybe you did, but maybe you didn't. So what I'm talking about is a visitation from God in the church marked by His tangible presence, an awareness of His holiness that results in conviction of sin and true repentance and a passion for evangelism. Henry Blackaby said, revival is when God's people return to God, God returns to them, and everyone sees the difference. Charles Finney said, revival is renewed conviction of sin and repentance, followed by an intense desire to live in obedience to God. It is giving up one's will to God in all humility. Charles Finney also said, a revival may be expected when Christians have a spirit of prayer for revival, when their hearts are set on revival, when they go about groaning and in travail to see revival come. Leonard Ravenhill said, revival is when God gets so sick and tired of being represented that He shows up Himself. The church and Christ followers in revival awaken to who they really are as beloved children of God with a divine mandate to reach the world. It is a renewal of the Holy Spirit. It's when the dead things come back to life. It's a restoration of a normal first century Christianity. You know, and throughout church history, there have been times when God has rent the heavens and He has come down. So I've been in Springfield about 10, 11 years, and even though I grew up as a missionary kid in Latin America, my dad came from Monterrey, Mexico. My mom came from San Diego, from Southern California. They met at Elam Bible College and then were missionaries in Latin America. And even though I grew on the up underneath the front row or the chairs of Spanish church, you know, I fell away from God. My parents went through a very bitter divorce, and eventually I fell away from God, started doing drugs in high school, and eventually became addicted to heroin and crack cocaine. But years ago, the Lord met me in prison, in a lonely, solitary confinement prison cell, I got down on my knees and I said, God, if you're real, if you're still there, would you come back into my life? And it was like waves of electric, liquid love that flowed over me for 5 months. My prison became a palace. My dungeon was filled with light. I would literally quake under the power of God for 5 months in a little cell all by myself right there at the prison of Santa Fe, New Mexico. And God began to speak to me, began to show me pictures of me speaking in stadiums, in churches, in prisons. And I said, God, you got the wrong guy. I'm not faithful. I can't even walk this thing out. And God spoke to me clearly from the parable of the 11th hour workers in Matthew chapter 20 in verse 15. And he said, don't I have the right to do what I want with my own things? So I submitted to the will of God. I was voted in as inmate pastor, and I've been following the Lord ever since. But another thing that God spoke to me in that prison cell, as he began to show me a mighty move of the Spirit that was coming to the United States of America, he showed me that there was an army of outcasts that would be rising up out of prisons, off of drugs, that would go across this nation and preach the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ with signs and wonders following. Come on. I moved to Springfield, and I had never been to Springfield before in my life, but felt the Lord led me. I was talking about my being healed. I got healed of hepatitis C, a documented healing, and I was sharing at a camp meeting in New Mexico, and a little old pastor came up and said, you need to go to Central Bible College. And I hadn't even heard of it. I was going to go to Vanguard. And but anyway, I ended up coming up here to Springfield and met my wife, and when she tells the story, you know, she took one look at me and fell madly in love, and so, you know, can you, something like that. Someone was laughing a little too hard back there. And so God began to deal with us to stay in this city. We've lived in North Springfield this whole time, and God began to move upon our hearts to stay. My wife's from Flatbush, Brooklyn, so it was hard for her because she likes the food in New York City. How can I get an amen for New York City food? And but God really dealt with us to stay. I went to seminary and got a job at Global University as a bilingual faculty member, which gave me 50% off at AGTS. Come on, how many know that's a lot of money? Global didn't pay me a lot, but I got 50% off. How many know that's a lot? And I remember I saw Steve and Linda Long, hello, there they are back there. So we knew them 20 years ago when I was on the mission field in Manila, met them at a Bennigan's, heard some people talking American English, and you're like, oh my God, those are our brothers, right? Is that how it is when you're on, if you're, how many missionaries do we have? Or you've been on the mission field or mission trips, right? And so when you hear someone talking American English, it's like, my brothers, what's going on? You know what I mean? And we got into our whole team from the ministry I was with got into their extension campus and took courses, Bethel Bible College courses, for $2 a class. Come on, somebody. And so transferable credits. In 2016, we launched a church. 2017, we were able to get into this building at 1477 North Broadway, and I believe that God led us to that building and gave us that building, and I don't have time to go into that story, but you know, in 2018, Alton Garrison asked if I would share my testimony at General Council 2019, and I said, yeah, sure, Brother Alton, because I'll do anything for Alton, come on. And I didn't realize what a big deal or the heaviness of the moment at the time. I didn't realize it until later, and what a tremendous honor that was. But I remember in August 2019, as we were on the plane to Florida, and I asked the Lord if he would have a word, if I was able to share a word, would he have a word for this great movement? And before that thought left my mind and my spirit, I felt the Lord say, I'm going to visit my old friends. So my understanding was that God was going to visit his old friends, the Assemblies of God, with a fresh move of the Holy Spirit in revival power in our generation. I believe we have the infrastructure and the capacity to sustain a powerful outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You know, I remember 11 years ago, I was doing my daily devotions, and I write in my Bible. I have the Bible I had in prison, so I write all over it. You can't even understand some of the stuff. It's just faded now, and I write new stuff. But one of the things was when I first visited Central Assembly of God, probably about 11 years ago when I was at CBC, and I came in, and I believe I even put a tie on, trying to fit in and kind of be a chameleon, come on, and came in, and you know what I remember at that time? I was like, I'll never fit in at this church. And then I thought, I'll never fit in the Assemblies of God, right? And but do you know what? Now here we are 11 years later, and I'm in a church surrounded by my friends, my colleagues, seminary students that went to seminary with me, college professors, college presidents, mentors, friends, and colleagues. And I know that I am not out of place, but I'm in place. And you know, so the come on, that's a good place to clap. You can clap. We're in place. Who knows if God hasn't even raised us up for such a time as this. The Assemblies of God is a revival movement, right? Tracing our history back to the Azusa Street Revival of 1906. And I'm grateful for Darren Rogers. I can always email him and make sure I'm getting historical accuracy on our revival history. How many are grateful for Darren Rogers and the Flower Pentecostal Heritage Center? So, you know, the Assemblies of God and even Central did not start in any glorious cathedrals, not even with renowned men and women of God, but it started with a humble people that desired to be sold out for God and for His mission on the earth. Azusa Street Revival was led by a one-eyed black man by the name of William Seymour, as you know, and a few old ladies that began to pray, and God showed up. Right? As he does, with any revival, it's a core group that begins to get a spirit for prayer, for revival. If there's one thing that I would like us to leave from this house today, is that God would give us a fresh hunger for revival and for an outpouring of His Holy Spirit, that we would not get satisfied, but we would press in for the more of the Lord. God came down in Azusa Street. Right? The blacks and whites and Hispanics and Asians worshiped together at a time when that was not cool. In fact, according to demonically influenced Jim Crow laws, made it illegal for blacks to worship with whites. But they saw God come down, and it was such a powerful move. They moved out of their house. They rented the little building on Azusa Street. There were miracles. There were signs and wonders. At times, they would even see fire shot up above the church, above the mission, and firemen would come. Isn't that amazing? And so, but God showed up, and people began to hear about it, and came from all over the world to the Azusa Street Revival. Right? One lady, Rachel Sizelove, was there, and she was part of the revival, her and her husband, and she came back to Springfield to visit her family. I know many of you know this, but she visited the Quorum residence right up here on Division Street by Freedom City Church, and she walked in and told them what was going on at Azusa Street. The following month, in June 1st of 1907, Lily Quorum was filled with the Spirit and spoke in tongues, and they were kicked out of church for speaking in tongues, and they met in houses, and they met in tents, and April 1911, they erected a tent and were doing outreach services down here off of Central Street by the courthouse. In 1913, Lily and Gary were elected to oversee the congregation. 1914, Sister Sloan was voted in as the first pastor of Central Assembly of God. Come on, a female pastor. Come on, aren't you glad we believe in females in leadership? And, you know, Central Assembly of God is characterized as the headquarters church. Many AG leaders, educators, missionaries. This is the iconic AG church with probably more visibility and impact than any other congregation in the past 100 years. But maybe God wants to start a revival once again at Central Assembly of God that would spread across not only our movement, but across our country and across this world. You know, in 1913, Rachel came back and when she was visiting and saw that there was a growing community here and said, that's when she had the vision of a sparkling fountain, right, that bubbled up and then spread out to the north, south, the east, and the west, right? And then the Assemblies of God moved here, the headquarters moved here in 1918, and then Rachel said, even though she wasn't about organized church really, but she said, this is a fulfillment of the vision that God has given me. And the Assemblies of God has impacted the world through global missions. The founders of the great movement here, they said, we commit ourselves and the movement to Him for the greatest evangelism the world has ever seen. Come on. That's vision right there. I like people that talk big. We got a big God. We need to believe for big things. Come on. We don't want to offend God with our little prayers. You know, these three ladies got together, so I figured out the formula for revival. If you can get three ladies, preferably little old ladies, praying for revival day and night, it will come. It's a historical fact. Lily Corum, Bertie Hoy, Amanda Benedict joined together to evangelize and pray that God would raise up a community that became Central Assembly of God. Amanda would fast for days. Amanda fasted one time for an entire year for this city on bread and water. How many will commit to doing that this year? Leon, thank you, brother. I appreciate that. At Amanda's funeral right here at Central, a lady stood up and said that Amanda was under tremendous burden day and night. The Lord had put it on her heart to pray for mighty things in Springfield that would cause it to be a center of God's blessing to the entire earth. I believe the visions, I believe the prophecies over Central Assembly of God have not been fully realized, but I believe the best is yet to come. I believe that God wants to visit His old friends. But there's a cost for revival. It's going to cost in prayer. It's going to cost in sacrifice. What if this church ends up getting filled out with lost people and you have to give up your pew, huh, to go to the overflow room so the lost can come sit down and hear about Jesus? So a revival will awaken us to the mission of God, to reaching souls. Jonathan Edwards of the First Great Awakening in the United States of America said, if revival ceases to be about souls, it will cease. Seven marks of revival in conclusion. Unceasing prayer. J. Edwin Orr said there hasn't been a revival in history that hasn't started in prayer, right? Christians persistently praying for revival. The upper room, the Spirit was poured out after 10 days of praying. Number two, faithful preaching of God's word. Number three, the awareness of God's presence. You know, the witnesses of the Welsh revival were asked what was the key characteristic of that revival, and they said it was a universal, inescapable sense of the presence of God. William Seymour, at the end of the revival, said in about 100 years, another revival will come, and it will be marked by the tangible presence of God, and it won't be in just one place, but it will be around the earth. You know what I believe? I believe God is going to show up in this generation, maybe right here at Central Assembly of God. And you know what? In a moment, that will spread through social media and be around the world. God's presence through social media, the revolution will be televised. Come on. You know what I mean? And it could spread like that. I believe that. Repentance of sin. When God comes, there's an awareness of our sin. There's an awareness of our lack. There's an awareness of our lack of commitment. The Holy Spirit convicts sin, you know what I mean, and turns people to Christ. And just like D.L. Moody would walk into factories from the Second Great Awakening, and people would just begin to weep and turn their lives over to Jesus. And Jonathan Edwards, when his famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, people were holding on to the pews because they saw hell opened up beneath them and they got right with God. How many know that would be an easy altar call to do that day? Also, there's effective evangelism. Spectacular occurrences. Revival's messy, so some crazy stuff happens. I know it did on the mission field. We saw a move of God. Stephen Linda Long experienced a lot of what was going on at our church there in Metro Manila, and God was moving. There was a lot of demonic manifestations and carrying people out, and I mean, so sometimes in a move of God, messy stuff happens that will offend your mind. That we'll say we're too dignified, we don't act like that in the church house, but we need to get back to the basics. We need to get back to letting God do whatever he wants, however he wants to do it, right? You know, we want to be careful not to pull out, you know what I mean, the wheat with the tares, right? And so we want to make sure that there's a solid doctrine and everything's in order, but we want to be careful also not to touch what is holy. Finally, community transformation. When revival touches a church and begins to touch a community and begins to touch even a nation, that's an awakening. I don't know about you, but I want an awakening in our land and in our churches. Jesus didn't save me to play church. Jesus didn't save me to come sit on a pew on Sunday mornings. 2 points, and this is it. Love God and love people. Love God. Be desperate. Be hungry for revival. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Leonard Ravenhill said, as long as we are content to live without revival, we will. What about Amanda who fasted for a year for this city? Look, I believe the greatest hour for Central Assembly, for Freedom City Church, the Assemblies of God, is just before us. You know, some people think the Church of Jesus Christ will fade away into the annals of history, but I believe that the greatest hour of the Church of Jesus Christ is just before us. I believe God has shaken everything that can be shaken so that only what cannot be shaken remains. We need to get the eye of the tiger back. How many remember in Rocky III, he started getting comfortable with his success? Come on. Physical disciplines went by the wayside. And Apollo Creed said, you got to get back that eye of the tiger. And the way to do that is to go back to the beginning. We need to get the eye of the tiger back and what our forefathers in the Pentecostal movement used to do. It's back to the basics. Number 2, love people. A compassion for people that moves us to step outside of our comfort zone. Jesus was moved with compassion to action, to operate in power, to preach the kingdom, to touch the leper, to heal the sick, to serve the poor, to love the unlovable. Pastor Choco spoke at Freedom City last week, and he said this. He said, how much are you willing to pay so that others will be reconciled? Our love for God should move us to step out. There is no mission but the Great Commission. Central Assembly of God and Freedom City Church, let's lock arms and see Grant Beach Park, see North Springfield, see Springfield, possibly even our region and our nation transformed. I don't want to play church. I don't want another religious service, but I want God to come down. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Let's pray. Lord, we just come before you today, God, as a hungry people. We're hungry for more of you. God, Lord, we're hungry, God, Lord, for an awakening. God, Lord, in our land, God, and in its central assembly of God, that you would send revival, God, Lord, once again, God, Lord, to this church, to this movement. God, Lord, we've heard of your fame. God, Lord, your deeds of old and what you've done in the past generations, but we pray that you would make them known. God, that you would renew your work in the midst of the years. God, that you would send revival. God, Lord, one more time. Una vez más, oh Dios, avivamiento. God, rend the heavens, Lord, and come down. And Lord, I pray, God, in this church, God, and at Freedom City Church, I pray, God, that you would give us, God, a fresh hunger. Draw our hearts, God, Lord, away from worthless things and cause us, God, Lord, to cry out to you. God, I believe it's you that is moving and stirring, God, Lord, my heart, God, Lord, in our churches to seek after you so that you can do what you want to do, and that is send revival. As one voice, God, Lord, we cry out, Lord, send revival. Yes.